Jeremiah wasn't a bullfrog. Thank you, dear. But he was known as the crying prophet. He was born destined to be a prophet to ancient Judah. Jeremiah was to be disowned by his own family, shunned by kings and aristocracy. He was hunted by the king's soldiers. He was outcast to his own nation. He was hated by kings and fellow countrymen alike, and he was anointed by God before he was fully formed in the womb. This boy prophet was to live a most unusual life. Many of us would be hard-pressed to understand. But understand we must, for we are linked together in end-time events with this young man, and we share a common promise from a loving God as to the security of our futures. Jeremiah led a sad life and a lonely life as a young man. He was born and grew up in the village of Anathoth, a few miles northeast of Jerusalem, around 650 BCE. He was born into a priestly family, very well off. In his childhood, he learned of the writings of the prophet Hosea, whose influence can be seen in his early messages. According to his book, Jeremiah began his prophetic career around 626 BCE in the 13th year of King Josiah's reign. And we read in Jeremiah 1, the very first chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Behold, I formed you in the womb. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am but a youth. The Lord said to me, Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. That, in point, is my first point, that how we, like Jeremiah, were called at a time when evil was looming over our nations. And we all loved our nation so well. Jeremiah did. Jeremiah gave up everything he had been born into, a priestly family, all the trimmings that go with it. He gave all that up to follow God and carry God's message to a rebellious nation. It was and is a message of repentance and turning of one's attitude to a loving God who stood then and stands now always ready to forgive and to aid his people. For a short while, under King Josiah, Judah pulled things together in an effort at a reform. But as happens often, even today, the change was superficial and not what God called the purification of the heart. We also see a lot of that kind of thing, the shallow things that we see today in religion. We try to help us all to see what it is that God is looking for, a rending of the heart and not the garments. He said it a long time ago. A turning to the truth, the inward truth here in the heart. We're going to turn to Jeremiah 7 if I can handle it. And I think my markers now are coming into play. I missed that first one. Okay, in Jeremiah 7, 7th chapter of Jeremiah, starting in verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Stand in the gate of the king's house, of the Lord's house, and proclaim there the word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in this land that I have given to your fathers forever and ever. But behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit." Very poignant way of speaking to the people, probably the only way they understand back then. "Will you steal? Will you murder? Will you commit adultery? Will you swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know? Then come, as you stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and you say, we are delivered to do these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes?" Somebody said that years later, didn't they? When he stood in the temple reproving the people. "Behold, I have seen it, says the Lord. But go now to my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first." God put his name there after the conquest, and they came and displaced the people. In the first place they settled was Shiloh. And I was thinking about that on the way here. I told my wife, I said, the way they described Shiloh, I don't know if anybody here has been to Jerusalem. It's still there. But it's like one of these country roads outside of Jerusalem. And there is one lone sign that points the way to Shiloh. And when you go to the end of that road, there's nothing. Absolutely nothing but a curio shop where they sell long past memories of what was Shiloh. And he says, "But go now to my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people. And now because you have done all these works, says the Lord, and I spoke to you rising early, speaking to you, but you did not hear. I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore, I will do to the house which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to this place which I gave to you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, the whole posterity of Ephraim." Sounds serious to me. We, brethren, now live in a time which can be said to mirror the pattern which existed in the time of Jeremiah. Those who have eyes to see can tell that our leaders, you watch it on the news every afternoon if you can still stomach the news, our leaders, like in the last years of Judah's day, are almost purposely blind to what confronts them, both militarily and spiritually. I can't help but think of this quote from General Douglas MacArthur. He said, "History fails to record a single precedent in which nations subject to moral decay have not passed into political and economic decline. There has been either a spiritual awakening to overcome the moral collapse or a progressive deterioration leading to ultimate national disaster." We can hear, as it were, echoes of Mr. MacArthur's poignant words in the section of Jeremiah where he confesses and laments his personal struggles precipitated by the prophet's role as a spokesman of a message so unpopular that it evoked imprisonments and threats to his very life. This confession makes the personal history of Jeremiah more accessible than that of any other Old Testament prophet. In Jeremiah 15, we read of this. Jeremiah 15, starting in verse 10. "Woe is me, my mother, that you have borne me, a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent for usury, nor has any man lent to me for usury. Every one of them curses me. And the Lord said, surely it will be well with you and your remnant. Surely I will cause the enemy to intercede with you in the time of adversity and in the time of affliction." They reveal a strong conflict between Jeremiah's natural inclinations and his deep sense of vocation to deliver God's message to the people. Jeremiah, history records, by nature, was sensitive, introspective, and actually rather shy. We live in an age where criminality is not only ignored, it is being rewarded. It was this moral shift that Jeremiah was sent to bring to Judah's attention. They could not sustain a society in light of their moral conduct. Make no mistake, neither can we. As General MacArthur said, "If we are to save the flesh, it must be by the Spirit. We, like Judah of Jeremiah's time, have too long ignored God's moral compass, His law. And like Judah, we are prophesied to be led away into captivity. We ourselves see no modern day Jeremiah, but we have the words recorded by his faithful scribe, Baruch. We have them to read and to heed. Judah did not heed and went into national shame and captivity. We have the same words of warning, and if we have the eyes to see, brethren, we are in every bit as much trouble with God as was ancient Judah. But there remains a great promise of hope that was given to Judah by Jeremiah. That promise echoes down through time to our nation today. It is found in Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah the 29th chapter. And starting in verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I always love to say that when I can hear something directly from God. You know, what's in your head? What's going on? I know personally what's going on in mine, especially when sin's involved. And you need to, what, talk to somebody? You talk to God. You wonder, you know, does he listen? And what's going on in his mind, you know? And he tells, through Jeremiah, a whole nation that is sinful, that has separated themselves from him. And the whole time, his hand is open to them. Wasn't open for harm, it was open for returning. And, well, he comes out and says it. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and hope. Then will you call upon me and go and pray to me. And then I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. This is what God says to his captives. To paraphrase it, as soon as Babylon's 70 years are up, I will show up and take care of you. I will bring you back home because I know what I'm doing. I have plans to give you the future you hope for. When you call on me, when you come to pray to me, I will listen. When you come looking for me, you will find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I will make you where you will not be disappointed. Oh, brethren, our loving Father has made this decree to Jeremiah. He, along with us, been given all we had. Jeremiah, ourselves, we gave everything to follow God and do his will. We have God's sure promise. Jerusalem will live once again. The Messiah is coming soon. And we, all of us, and Jeremiah, will live eternity.